Would. Not going to get very far tonight through the chapter, just so you know. But we're almost done. We'll be done in the next week or two. So I got something tonight I'm kind of going to park it on for the most part. And really want to make the point. It's interesting to me how these things seem to play out. And it's just the Lord's doing. It's not the preacher manipulating anything. I'm not smart enough for that. Like I've told you before, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not a total idiot either, you know. So I'm not quite smart enough to strategize how this stuff lays out. But boy, the Holy Spirit of God sure seems to know. And I want to kind of slow down here for a minute tonight and show you something here in Revelation chapter 22. Let's look at verse 5. I know we already covered this, but let's look at verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for thank you for church. And Lord, we only have the church because you love it. You died for it. And Lord, these are my brothers and sisters because we're in the same body and we got the same Father. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd feed us, that you'd help us, that you'd give your people a greater appreciation for the Bible that you've given to them. And Lord, that you'd help me to have my thoughts in order and my heart right. And Lord, when I by your touch, by your blessing, by your help, by the ability that you give, and only the ability that you give, would you please enable me to be a blessing to these people and get a hold of some hearts tonight. Strengthen the faith of every individual in this room, in this book, and help us to realize the gravity of having a Bible and what a great thing it is. Help us not to take it for granted. And help us to develop and nurture our relationship with the Word of God, understanding why and the importance of it. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look at verse number 5, as we've already covered, just thinking about heaven a little bit. The day is coming. That day is coming. When you are never again going to feel the weight of sin. Now, I'm not harping on you about your sin particularly, but there's definitely a weight associated with doing wrong. It's tough because you're stuck in sinful flesh and your sinful flesh craves those things that don't please God. All of it. You understand, you know, as saved people, you know, we realize, and I mean, I'm going to say this, and I'm just sure that I'm preaching to the choir. I just am sure that you already know this. But as a born again Christian who loves Jesus Christ, you know it's wrong to be drinking alcohol, right? And you quit that. You know it's wrong to be doing drugs, right? You quit that. You know it's wrong to fornicate, right? You quit that. You know it's wrong to be a glutton, and you're Americans. You try to quit that. We all try to quit that. My wife set a trap for me on my desk. She had this great idea to get candy for the kids, right? The kids know what I'm talking about. I got some smiles out of that one. That thing's sitting there staring at me all week long. I have a problem with that. You understand? I have a problem with sugar. I have a real problem with sugar. I could eat sugar. You can ask my wife. My mother-in-law always tells the kids the story of when we were dating. And I was always starved. I was as starved as Billy is. I was always dying of starvation at every moment. And I got hangry all the time. And we get to the restaurant and I'm sitting there. I knew I could get an amen out of him sooner or later. We're sitting there at the restaurant and waiting for our food to come, and it wasn't quick enough, so I'm ripping open packets of sugar and pouring them down my throat, just like I'm just straight packets of sugar. I got a problem. I got a sweet tooth, man. You know what my flesh should do? This is how bad your flesh is, and how bad your flesh is with sin and anything that pleases it and anything that's wrong. That sugar tastes so good. My flesh will keep eating that sugar until I give myself diseases that I don't have right now. That's what it'll do. I'll keep pounding that sugar and pounding that sugar and pounding that sugar. And by the time you're my age, if you keep doing that from the time you're a kid, you have diabetes. You got cancer. My grandpa, I remember watching my grandpa Reagan. He had real bad diabetes, and I mean real bad. And he was a chain smoker. He had nervous problems from World War II, I believe. He's on the burial detail, and he never came out of that right again. And he's always shaking like this, and he'd smoke them cigarettes, and he'd smoke them down until the butt of the cigarette burned holes in his fingers. His fingers right here and right here were black. And he had a sugar problem. He had type 2 diabetes. He'd go over and he'd get that, and we'd get him the gift baskets and stuff for Christmas or whatever. And he'd go over there, when he'd get that gift basket, he'd rip that thing open, he'd grab the jelly out. And he'd walk over to the kitchen sink, and I can see him pop the lid off and get a spoon out. And he'd stand there and he'd eat that jar of jelly just like that, the whole thing. Dying. That's what your flesh will do. There's pleasure in it. You know what I mean? There's pleasure in sin for a season. And boy, once you start reaping what you sow, you wish to God you didn't ever do what you did. Can I get a witness? And you can't go backwards and fix it now. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And man, you realize that sin's been forgiven. I mean, forgiven. It's gone. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's gone. And if you are saved and you messed up since you were saved, but you got on your knees and you confessed that thing, you asked God to forgive you, that sin's gone. I mean, it's gone. Praise the Lord for that. It's gone. So when somebody you run into from the past reminds you of what you used to be, stare at them and say, I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah, but I know you have... Well, I don't even know... Who is that? I don't even know that guy you're talking about. That guy doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. You understand what I'm saying? But could you imagine getting to a place where it's so gone that not only your memory nor anybody else's memory can dig up what you used to be anymore? Could you imagine being in a place where other people's sins... Hello? Other people's sins will never again break your heart. Anybody in the room have a broken heart because of the sins somebody else has committed? Man, that's heaven, man. What a place that's going to be. When God wipes away all tears from the eyes. I told you before, forgive me for sounding like a broken record, but man, it's just been eating at me. What a great thing. Never to have another nursing home. Never to see another crutch or another walker. Never to see another wheelchair. Never to see another hospital. No need for therapists. No need for psychologists. No need for medications. No need for funeral homes. They don't exist. There's just no need for them. I mean, this is going to be a great place. And let me just tell you, the closest thing you get to seeing it, to experiencing it, folks, it's the only perfect thing I can hold in my hands today. Do you understand how important it is to know you got a perfect Bible? Because the only thing in this world that you can touch and see and look at that's uncorrupted, you can't see my soul. You can't see my spirit. I'm peeking out through these windows. You ever think about that? You've never seen Mike Reagan. You just think you have. Listen, if I have a heart attack or something right now, just kind of peel over and just hit the deck, you know, just kind of gels out and all that, just like blob, you know, blubber just laying there. I die. That's what I'm saying. That hunk of flesh laying there isn't Mike Reagan. It's an empty shell of the man that inhabited the flesh. If I keel over right now, by the time my body hits the deck here, my soul will be with God. You've never seen me. I'm stuck inside. I've often wondered weird stuff like, I wonder if mirrors actually work. We all could be walking around thinking we look like something we don't even really look like because mirrors are some sort of a distorted image of the reality and nobody's there to prove to you that you look exactly like you think you look. I'm sure some people just... I'm sure this is true. This came to me because some people obviously think they look very differently than what I'm seeing. See, my mind works pretty overactive. You got to pray for me, amen? You're peeking out through a couple of windows. And all you see when you look at me, I'm dying. You understand that? I mean, I don't know if I'm actively dying like right now. I could be. I don't know. But I'm dying one day at a time because there's an expiration date on the sinful flesh that I'm inhabiting. Do you understand? You're going to a place where sin no longer exists. You're not going to get old. You're not, it's going to be an absolutely perfect place, but you haven't seen anything like that yet. And the closest thing you have to it, this right here is the only perfect thing on the planet. No wonder the devil has done an attack on the Bible. No wonder the devil wants to make sure that your flesh is too bored to pick it up and get into it. No wonder the devil's working in seminaries and colleges all over this planet, and especially in this nation, to undermine the faith of preachers. You understand what I'm saying? Because a young man gets called of God to preach and goes off to Bible school and wants to learn his Bible because he's got a call of God in his life to preach, and he's all fired up, and they get in the seminaries and they got some bloated, egotistical, egomaniac getting up there trying to show off how intelligent he is. And the first thing he does is try to undermine your faith in the black and white Bible you're holding in your hands, and starts trying to tell you that the truth is in the originals. I'm going to tell you tonight, and I'm going to run the references with you, and it might be a little shorter, we'll see. But I'm going to run the references with you to show you, you can't separate God from His Word. It's impossible. It's a funny thing to me that young men fall for it too. The Bible that stirred in your heart in some local church somewhere under a pastor that believed the Bible, and you get off to a Bible college and you get around all that stuff. You know, we used to walk around the one Bible college I went to before I went to a Bible institute and started having a guy teach me Bible, verse by verse, running references and teaching me the Bible, investing in me personally, not lecturing me from the podium in the class. And all the pastoral theology majors, you know, we showed off real big. We were taught to show off. We had a big old 3-inch clips that we would buy with 3x5 cards. And we punch those cards and put that clip through there, and that's our Greek vocab, you know, walking around campus flipping through your Greek vocab, you know, quizzing yourself. Oh, that's a great thing to do to a bunch of young men that got a call of God on them and start teaching them to show off. No longer a part of the hoi polloi. You're no longer a part of the unwashed masses, gentlemen, because you discovered the Greek. One of my professors actually said that. I learned my Bible and I studied my Bible and I got my Bible down and I started saying, my goodness, man, what am I going to do? I know this Bible so good and I've studied so much of this Bible. And then I discovered the Greek. You're telling me you knew the Bible so good that you had to discover a dead language to know your Bible. You know, the language that the Bible was written in isn't spoken anywhere on the planet today. It's a dead language. Let me tell you this evening, folks, the Word of God's not dead, it's alive. And if it's alive, then you're holding it in your lap. And it's the only perfect thing you got. So what the devil's done, and we're going to do this drill sometime before too much longer, we're going to get a whole bunch of Bibles up here. And one of those Bibles is going to be that, Gen Z Bible? Yeah, we're going to get that involved here. Hashtag Scripture, bro. And You're laughing. It's a real translation on the market. Hashtag, no kidding. Emojis. I'm going to get you all up here, a whole bunch of you, with a different translation, and we're all going to read the same passage at the same time. You guys remember when we did that years ago? The illustration is this. That's what the body of Christ is hearing all over the planet. That ain't how God speaks. When God speaks, He speaks plain. When God speaks, He speaks clear. When God speaks, He speaks direct. The Pharisees and scribes were shocked at Him because He spoke as one that had authority. He doesn't doubt and question and wiggle around and I don't know if I can be sure what to do and what not to do. He's clear. And I thank God I hold something in my hands that's perfect and inerrant and infallible. And I just want to say tonight, I love my Bible. I'm shameless about it. You call me whatever you want to call me. I've been called worse and I've probably been called the same, and I don't really care. You're a bibliolater or whatever you want to call me. I'm going to let the Bible talk for itself, and I want to show you how powerful that book is. Look at verse 6, and here's where the thought's coming from. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. He didn't say these sayings are mostly translated so you can kind of know. These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God spoke through the prophets. And God gave you the Bible. And He spoke through holy prophets. Now, I just got done telling you that all you've ever seen is sinful flesh. I just got done telling you that I'm inhabiting sinful flesh. I just got done telling you that if my body keels over and drops dead and you all come stare at a casket and a couple of you sniffle and maybe two or three of you wipe your nose and my wife and kids have a meltdown and everybody else sniffles for a couple of days, it's nothing. It's a nothing burger. Because it's flesh. And it's going the way of all flesh. But God said, the God of the holy prophets, He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a... He said, be ye, for I am holy. God expects us to get the victory over that flesh, to get the victory over that sin, to be like Him. And to do your best. I wonder how many more prayers we'd get answered if we put away the sin, knock off the excuses, stop using the Bible to justify what's obviously sin, and just get right with God. I believe it. I believe Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, I believe we need to get right with God. I don't mean everybody else. I'm not talking about the contemporary church. I'm not talking about the church up the road. I'm talking about you and me. If we got right with God, what could God do for us? That's a scary thought, isn't it? What a blessing Bonnie said that right after we sent out that flock note for her brother-in-law, he sat up. I believe in a God that answers prayers. I believe we got people we got to pray for. I believe I need to get some prayers through. And it ain't about enough seats in the sanctuary and bathrooms to go potty in. You'll live. If it's that bad, stop at Kroger. Amen. I think we got some serious things we need to get prayers through on. Boy, when God answers prayer like that, it scares me. It makes me want to clean up even more. And I'm telling you this evening, you can't clean up without a Bible. You can't do it. You're re-preaching this morning's message. Good. You can't clean up without your Bible. You don't have anything pure in this world to look at. Facebook? Fox News? Give me a break. What are you going to look at that's faithful? TikTok? Instagram? What are you going to look at that's holy? What are you going to look at that's undefiled? We got time for everything else in the world. YouTube? We got time for all that stuff, but folks, I sure hope to God, every one of you has time every day, every one of you has time every day to at least read a chapter if you're not reading it all. Start there, a chapter. Something pure, faithful, and true going in your eyeballs. It just might save your life. It might change what the judgment seat of Jesus Christ looks like for you when you get there. It might change your future. Some of you single people, it might change who you marry. It might change everything about your future. It's important. So I want you to understand that you can't separate the Bible from your Savior. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. You can't separate the two. So when people tell you that, you know, as a Bible believer and they call us Ruckmanites or whatever else they want to call us, they can call me whatever they want to call me. I could care less. I don't care what they call me. I believe the Bible. After the manner in which ye call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all that's written in the law and the prophets. I believe the Bible. I believe that an almighty God that can speak the planets into existence and speak the sun into existence can give me a Bible because He said He would. And I love my Bible with a passionate love because how else am I going to know the Lord? Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Ain't it interesting that He calls Himself Alpha and Omega, connecting Himself to the letters of the Greek alphabet? Look at this. Revelation 1:11. He says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and sent it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. You know what the Lord wanted them to have? He said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, and what I want you to do is I want you to write in a book what I'm telling you. You know what you got when you got a Bible? You got something better than an appearance of Jesus. Now that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? But am I making that up on my own, or is that a Bible statement? You got something better for you. You have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, because these things are faithful and true. That Bible always pans out in the end. Always. I remember calling, forgive me for, go to Revelation 21, please. Forgive me for reiterating the same illustration, but I remember calling Brother Veach years ago, and we were just having nothing but fits with our second daughter, and just nothing was working. And he said, well, brother, real deep, calm voice. He was, good night, he was up in his 50s back then, probably even early 60s. And he said, well, brother, I guess the Bible's always right. Just keep spanking her. Like, it ain't getting through. He's like, yeah, well, eventually the Bible's always right. God told you to spank her, so just keep spanking her. I'm like, yeah, you don't understand. He said, Bible's always right. Guess what? All of a sudden, one day she woke up and figured out this ain't fun. You know why? Because it might not show right now. But you got to be faithful to a faithful book, because the book will always come through for you. Yeah, right. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. Look at Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You know what he's telling you? I'm the Word. That's what he's telling you. Now let me show you a couple of passages. Go to Galatians chapter number 3. You can't separate God from His Word. You hear the old statement, and I know nowadays this is a bizarre thing to say. It doesn't make too much sense. Did I say Galatians chapter 3, right? Yeah. It doesn't make too much sense, right? But the old saying was, a man's only as good as his word. Right? Back in the day. Before you had to sign a stack of papers like that to buy a house, and like that to buy a car, and like that to buy a copier, and like that to buy a cell phone. You ever spin through all the papers that are in there when you acknowledge and agree? Because nobody keeps their word anymore. Man's only as good as his word. So you tell me that God promised that he'd keep you a book and give you it from this generation forever, and he was impotent to be able to do what he said he could do. Well, it's copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. Haven't you read your Bible? Every time there was originals, God destroyed them. The original Ten Commandments, the originals in Jeremiah, and he always brings a copy out. You know what you'd do if you had originals that don't exist anywhere on the planet today? The originals that they refer to are copies of copies of copies of copies. So it's a straw argument. It falls apart right there. It's just like it's as common sense as why we're not evolutionists. It's a straw argument. You know what happened if you had originals anywhere today? The Catholic Church would be making millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars more than they're already making on it. It'd be a relic. Man, Peter penned that. Wow. Man, that's Paul's writing. Wow. And those same people claim that you and I are bibliolaters, because we believe every word of this book that we hold in our hands is perfect, inerrant, infallible, and we believe it's a lifeline. I believe this is my lifeline. Did you eat today?
Yes, sir.
Every one of you ate today? You ate food today? Why? To stay alive, right? Well, I know you got some Bible at you today, because I think all of you were here this morning, or almost all of you. And if you weren't here, you were in another church. Right? Are you going to eat tomorrow? It's a lifeline. Galatians chapter 3, look at this verse in verse number 8. It says, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That's a weird verse. The Scripture did what? It foresaw? Go back to Genesis 18. Let me show you what this passage is referring to. Give me a second here to find it. I didn't write down the verses. It's 17. Genesis 18, 17. Watch this. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" Now, who said that? It says the Lord said it, right? When the Apostle Paul quoted Genesis 18, 17, he said, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying," who said it? "In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." But who said it in Genesis 18? The Lord said it. Do you see what Galatians 3:8 says? The scripture foresaw it and the scripture said. Am I stretching your mind a little bit? I hope so. You better be real careful when it comes to the Bible. Look at Exodus chapter 9. I'll show you another one. This stuff interests me. It spikes my attention. Let me say this. If my wife was gone and she hadn't got back yet, and I was hoping she was coming back, but she left me a bunch of letters and each day said, "Open this on this day and this on that day and this on the other day," you know what I'd do? I'd peel open that letter and I'd read it. You know why? I love her. You say you love the Lord, right? He left you a letter and it's called the Bible. And that letter will get you through one day after the next day after the next day after the next day. It'll let you know a little more about him and a little more about him and a little more. He'll minister to you. He'll comfort you. He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll correct you. He'll get you all the way through till you see his face. You can't separate him from his book. It won't work. It won't work. And without his book, you're going to be open to all kind of deception and all kind of feelings and all kind of emotions. It won't settle you. You won't be settled without a Bible. You won't. Exodus chapter 9, did I tell you? I think I told you that. Verse 16. He says, "And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." So it's the Lord speaking, right? Go to Romans chapter 9. Pretty clear what the Lord said to Pharaoh, right? Romans chapter 9. Verse 17. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose will I raise thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Well, I just read to you Exodus 9. I just showed you it was the Lord talking to him. And the Lord told him, "For this reason have I raised thee up." I don't know what's going on with Paul. Is he a bibliolater or something? Is the Bible inspired or not? Paul said, "For the scripture saith." Ain't that wild? He's quoting something God said. Well, if God spoke, what is it? It's scripture. You want God to speak to you? Anybody want God to speak to him? Does that mean anything to you, having God speak to you? So then you're going to go charismatic and get on your knees and ask the angel, "Oh Lord, speak to me. And I heard a voice." And how do you know what you heard wasn't a devil? Because he appears as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. How do you know it wasn't a devil? Don't you know you can do certain kind of drugs and hear all kind of stuff? It's demonic. Well, you don't know. You don't know it's not a devil unless you got a Bible. And you need the Bible, because then you know what you're getting is faithful and what you're getting is true. And you're hearing from God. When I want to hear from God, I open my Bible and I beg Him. I beg Him to talk to me. I don't want an audible voice. I'm not stable enough for that. I know too much. I'm sorry. I've learned too much. I know too much. I've seen too much. I'm not needing an audible voice. I don't need it. I want God to speak to me through this book. But I think you're not going to get it. You're not. I don't think you're going to hear from them. If there ain't a fervency in your heart for that book and a longing desire to hear, I think you got to tune enough of this sinful world out so that the holy words of God can get through. When you got nothing but junk and junk and perversion and junk and perversion and distortion and junk and gossip and rumors and junk and bad mouthing and criticism and junk and junk and junk. We're in an election year, folks. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be preaching more and more about criticism and bad mouth and dragging each other down and beating each other up because that's all they do to get to office. I don't care who your politician of choice is. That didn't go over very good, so I'm going to say it again. I don't care who your politician of choice is. All they do is play in the mud to try to get what they want done. And the root of the whole thing is right here. And you're inundated with that all the time. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, are you going to be watching the debate tonight? I said, I didn't know there was a debate tonight. That was a great feeling. And I was like, how am I not hearing this? Because everywhere I go, I'm hearing people talk about the debate. I'm walking through Kroger and there's a 50-something-year-old guy turned around to a 50-something-year-old woman and lying behind him. And he's just like, Biden. She's like, I know, I just don't get into it. I know. I just don't get into it. I just come up with like, is this guy going to start beating her up or something? Like, good night, man. Like, forget it. I mean, I just watched close enough to know he wasn't going to do something stupid because that'll... Came over and prayed for him, you know, calm him down a little bit. But that's what you're living in. That's what you're inundated with. You know what I get when I open up this Bible in the morning and I sit down in my chair and I, don't judge me, I pull up my blanket. I got a blanket that's like a king size. I can wrap my feet, I pull the blanket up and I can fold it back to make a little desk out of it and I can still pull it around and cuddle with it. Amen, praise Jesus. And I got my coffee. Real tough guy, you know. Man, I feel the comfort of God. I feel the comfort of God come off the pages of that book. I'm just telling you, I don't know about you, but I need my Bible. I need something faithful and I need something true. Sometimes to me, it's like getting a long drink of water when you're super, super dry and you're super tired and super exhausted and your head's all jacked up. And you get over there to that sink. You ever get there where you put it off so long and you're so busy that you're just like, God, in your drink. And you just take the whole, just a big old jug of water just straight down. That's what this is. This is what you need. You understand what I'm saying? And you say, why are you glorifying the Bible so much? Because it's my Lord's words. Because it's how my Savior speaks to me. It's because it's how the only thing I got in the world that's pure and perfect and inerrant and infallible and faithful and true and the Scriptures can foresee. But it's like, wait a second, the Scriptures foresee or God foresees? Yep. Yeah, but I don't understand. I know you don't understand. Because you're like Jesus said, you do err for two reasons. Not knowing the Scriptures. I'm showing you the Bible so that you can understand the importance of the Bible, nor the power of God. You see how those two go together? He said the error is a twofold error. Number one, you got to know the Scriptures because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now hear me for a second. A lot of really decent guys, good guys, let's be fair. Can we be fair? Is that okay? Am I still a Bible believer if I'm fair and honest about something? There's a lot of good guys that really love the Lord that got into seminary, and were talked out of their Bible, and they think they're actually giving you the truth. And then they get up in a pulpit and they're preaching a book that they don't think is pure. If I don't have a pure Bible, what's pure? What's pure? Find me something pure. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. And so they get talked out of it, and if they don't believe it's pure, what are you going to believe? The guy teaching you the Bible won't believe it's perfect. Where are you going to be at? I'm telling you, this Bible can foresee things. Ain't that a trip? Isn't that a wild thing? What a wild thought that is. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews You know this, most of you know this passage, Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 12. I'm in 2, that's why that don't make sense. There it is. It says, for the word of God. See the small W? Every time the Bible refers to the Bible, refers to the written word of God, it uses a small W so that you know to differentiate between the proper name for Jesus Christ and the word of God. So that's why Bible believers use a small W when they're referencing the Bible. If you look at our website, I think originally we had capitalized, and I went back and tried to make sure that was corrected, because that's always something that stands out to me. People that don't really believe the Bible is perfect always use a capital W in honor of the Bible. But when the Bible talks about the Bible, so if God does it that way, I'm going to do it God's way. Understand what I'm saying? So if God says a small W for the word of God, then I'm saying a small W for the word of God. And this is talking about the written Bible. It says it's quick. Well, it ain't dead if it's quick. And it's powerful. Well, it ain't dead if it's powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, hang on a minute. It's a book. You guys read books? Does anybody read books? I know a lot. That's like a thing, like a book. What's a book? You know, like anybody read a book? You know what a book is? It's got paper and ink, and it's got pages like this. One thing I love about this church, I say, open your Bible, and the pages are going like crazy. That's a blessing to my soul, man. You know what happens when you get a book? You read it, right? You know what that just told you about the Bible? It reads you. It's a communication. It's not one way. Now, that's a bizarre thought. You know, people come into this church quite often, and it's not just exclusive to us. They go into Bible-believing churches where the preacher in the pulpit fervently loves and believes the book and preaches the Bible. And they'll say stuff like, man, it's just different there. You should see it from my, I wish you could see it from my perspective. I was talking to my daughter's father-in-law yesterday, Brother Horton, and he said if the members of the church could see the church from the view that the pastor sees it from, I think it would change a lot of things for people. I said, yeah, I know. I agree with that 100%. He's like, when you're standing up there and you're looking at those faces, you can see sometimes it's visible what God's doing. It's strange. You should see when I'm preaching how some people literally turn gray. You should pray for first-time visitors here. Please. I mean, please. And would you please help me out with something? And you do a good job of this. I'm not harping on you. I'm reminding you. Would you help me out with something? When you see a visitor, say hey to them and make them feel loved and welcome. Now, here's why I'm saying that. They're about to experience something they may not have ever experienced before. And you should see them. It's like, what just happened and where am I? You know what that is? You want to know what that is? It ain't me. I don't care what anybody thinks. It isn't me. It isn't yelling and stomping and pounding and snorting, because it happens on Wednesday nights when I'm teaching verse by verse, or on Sunday nights when I'm teaching verse by verse. You know what it is? It's a live book. It's the faithful and true sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, where that thing starts reading them. And it's almost like that's personal. He's pressuring me. He's getting on me. He said, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't, honestly, most of the time, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm so oblivious. They're leaving all mad at me and jacked up and offended, and toes are hurting because I stomped on them so hard. And I'm like, bye, it was great to have you. Hope you come back. Hope you enjoyed it. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I don't need to ask right now. Let's just back off of that one for a minute. You know what it is? It's that book. You know what happens to people that want the truth, that really want the truth, that are looking for the truth? The Holy Spirit starts stirring in their heart because that Bible read them while they were here. They weren't just reading the Bible. That preaching got down deep in their business and got into their psychology and went all the way down and divided asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, is working on the discerning the heart. You know what I hope? I hope and pray every last one of you in here is saved. I hope you're saved. I hope you didn't just say some kind of a prayer. I hope with the heart you believed unto righteousness, and with the mouth you made confession unto salvation. I hope you're genuinely born again. And if you're not born again, I'm going to keep preaching the Bible at you and preaching the Bible at you and preaching the Bible at you, because the Bible's like a jackhammer on a hard heart. The Bible's like a jackhammer on a lost soul. And sooner or later, that Bible's going to read you. It's either going to drive you out or drive you in. We're not going to back off on preaching the Bible. Because I'm telling you folks, every last one of us, the Bible's what we need. Now look at verse 13. This is very interesting. So don't forget the context. It's the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharp and discerns. Watch this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, what's the context of verse 13 when it says neither? You know what that just did? That just told you the Bible reads you and discerns you and cuts you and get in deep and works on you. And then the next verse in context, it says neither. It's a continuation. Neither is in his sight. That's weird. I don't know. I'm not trying to be superstitious with you. I'm just telling you, the Bible reads me back. This is the closest I'm seeing through a glass darkly. It's the closest I'm going to get in this body to see in the face of Jesus Christ. And you're going to tell me you can have a nonchalant relationship with your Bible and walk with God. You're telling me that. You're thinking that. You're thinking you could take it lightly that we're King James Bible believers and that there's no errors in the Bible and just, I don't really see that, but I'll go there because it's good. And, I don't really agree, but no, you ought to agree. I mean, if you've been here any length of time, I'm not harping on you. We've had people come for a long time carrying other versions of the Bible, and I still don't do a Bible check when you walk in the door. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I want you to keep coming. I think the longer you keep coming, the more you're going to realize that's a perfect book that we're preaching from. And you come here, if you don't believe the King James Bible, I'm just saying, I think all of you do, but if you're sitting here and you don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, then why don't you go to the church that agrees with you about your view on the Bible? I'll tell you why you don't go, because God ain't speaking to you over there. He's getting on you here. And you've got to recognize it's coming from a perfect book, and that book is a King James Bible. God promised you He'd preserve it. God promised you He'd keep it. God's good for His Word. It's faithful, and it's true, and you can't find a mistake in it. It's the only perfect thing you can look at in this world. Go with me to Hebrews, just a couple more verses. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith we understand what I tell you this morning, right? That God spoke it into existence with His Word. It's forever settled in heaven. In other words, this Bible was out in eternity past. Huh? Well, that's what the Bible says about the Bible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All flesh is as grass. The word of the Lord endures forever, forever. You mean in eternity past, the Bible was up there in heaven somewhere with God? Yep. And He brought it down to earth and gave you a Bible so you can open it up and read it. Can you imagine what a miracle? Can you imagine how powerful? Can you imagine what a gift? What a gift that God Almighty would give us a perfect book we can study. And it's eternal. Now you have no problem believing that He framed the heavens by His Word, right? No problem believing that at all. Right? He spoke it all into existence. That's a powerful thought. But go to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 1, see the capital? And the Word was with God. See the capital? And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who made it? Who is it talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what you said? In the beginning was the capital W, Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. By faith we know that God made the words, made the world by His, Hebrews 11. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Watch it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God, see it? Said, let there be light. And there was light. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, He told you that the world was framed by the Word of God, right? And then in John chapter 1, He clarified, I'm talking about Jesus, right? And then in Genesis chapter 1, God's putting it all together for you, and He's showing you the Trinity. He said, in the beginning, God. What a great way to start the Bible. Man, it's like an eternal being knew exactly what you need to know, and He told you what you need to know, and the answer is, in the beginning, God. Okay, so where did God come from? In the beginning, God. Yeah, I know, but where did He come from? Because He had to be, there had to be a beginning somewhere. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, was, is, and is to come. In the beginning, God. Yeah, but hey, be quiet. Don't exercise yourself after things that are too high for you. I was there when the beginning began. There's no beginning to God. He's eternal. You know what His Word is? Eternal. Forever, O Lord, is Thy Word established, settled in heaven. Forever. It's eternal. So He said, in the beginning, God created. And then He says, now the Spirit of God moved. And God, and when God spoke the Word, it was created. But John 1 tells you it was Jesus doing the creating. I'm trying to tell you, you can't separate Him from the book. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful thought. You got just like 2 more minutes or so? John chapter 3. Really almost done. John chapter 3. You all know this one. For the sake of time, let's look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus believes Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus says, you got to be born again. Nicodemus is honestly thinking, okay, what are you going to do? Reincarnate me and put me back in my mother's womb? Is that what I got to do to get to see the kingdom of God? Then do it. He's confused. Jesus clarifies with him in verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. What are you in when you're in your mother's womb? Water, right? So ladies, when the water breaks, what does that mean? Baby's coming. It's a physical birth. Except a man be born of water and of the, see the capital S? He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, verse number 6 is a commentary on verse number 5. The Bible does this all the way through the Bible. Whenever you see a passage you're not sure about or not real clear, just keep studying. God will clarify it for you. That which is born of the flesh is, That baby came out of its mother's flesh, and now you have an individual living being. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, a natural birth, right? And that which is born of the capital S, see it, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. A day, a place, and a time when you realize you were a sinner on your way to a devil's hell, and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and save your soul from hell, and He came inside of you by His Spirit and quickened your spirit. Has nothing to do with water baptism. Got to be born of water. And the Spirit comes when you enter the water. Man, you are so far out in left field. I mean, I wouldn't trust a guy like that when he's telling me about my eternal soul when he can't read. This is probably not even sixth grade level reading. I don't care how many doctor's degrees he has. If he can't read on a sixth grade level, I'm not following him. That has nothing to do with water baptism. It has to do with a physical birth. If you are physically born, you're on your way to hell because you're dead in trespasses and sins. You have to have a second birth in the Spirit of God, right? Watch this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Most of you know this verse. Just trying to really hammer home the value and the power and the importance of the Word of God in your life. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that was mom and dad. You are born a sinner. Some of you born with genetic defaults. Some of you born prone to certain diseases or born with a disease, you know what happened? You got corruptible seed. Anybody in here going to die eventually if the Lord doesn't come back? You're all corrupt. God bless you. I love you. Thank you. Thank God for a loving pastor, huh? You're born a corruptible seed. This one ain't corruptible. Not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. See the small W? Which liveth and abideth forever. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by. That Bible is so powerful. I was going to show you Psalm 138, but I'm not right now. I'll quote it to you. Go back with me to Luke chapter 16. In Psalm 138, the Bible says, Luke chapter 16, and we'll stop there. In Psalm 138, the Bible says that God hath magnified His Word, small w, above all His name. Now think about that for a minute. God magnified His Word above all His name. And people take their Bibles lightly and say they love Jesus. Get in praise and worship where we go, Jesus, 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 and don't know a thimble full of Bible, and yet claim we just, oh, isn't that so moving? Oh, I just love God. And you can't quote five verses of Scripture. Just love God. You don't have a chapter anywhere in the Bible committed to memory? A verse? Hey, start with this one. Jesus wept. Let's all say that together. Jesus wept. Boom. You just got a verse memorized. Take the wind and let's keep going on that. Let that thing snowball. You love the Lord? You can't quote any Bible at all? You got struggles with sin. You got struggles with temptation and you want the victory. What are the verses in the Bible that deal with the sin you struggle with? You struggle with sin? If you struggle with a specific sin, you got an Achilles heel, you got a besetting sin, you ought to have 10 or 15 verses of Scripture that deal with that sin committed to memory. Because that Bible is so powerful, it'll give you the victory over that sin. But we don't care about it. We're too busy to read it. Watch how powerful your Bible is. You know the story here. For the sake of time, let me just catch you up real quick. You got the rich man and Lazarus, right? The rich man winds up in hell. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And he says, we can't. He said, all right, since you can't, send him back to my brethren. I got five brethren. Send him back there to go tell my brethren, lest they come to this place of torment. And watch the response. Verse 29. He said, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Luke 16:29. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Wait a minute. Moses and the prophets have been dead a very, very long time. You know what they had? The Old Testament scriptures that God had given to them at that time. Their response, and he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent." Now let me ask you a question. If you're a lost man and you're at home and you're having a party, there's a knock at your door at 3 in the morning. And you go open up that door and standing there is a burnt carcass. Black, charred. Skin dripping, fat kind of bubbling up, you know, because it's all heated up. Eyes red, smoke coming out the nose and mouth. Hair all singed up.
I only got 30 seconds. I gotta go back. You need to get saved, man. Please don't come. Don't come. We're not going to be able to party. We won't be able to talk. Trust me. Don't come.
Gone. Would you drop to your knee and trust Christ as your Savior? You'd think. Wouldn't you think? You know what he said? He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead.
Yeah.
He said, my word is so powerful on a human heart. Hear me. Are you hurting tonight? My word is so powerful on a human heart. You struggling with sin tonight? My word is so powerful on a human heart. You need direction tonight? My word is so powerful on a human heart that if this book gets to them, it's the only hope they got. But if they're so hard-hearted and so hard-headed and so stubborn and so self-righteous and so self-obsessed that they won't listen to my Bible, even if somebody come from hell and witness to them, they still won't believe it. They'll make up an excuse. That's how powerful this book is. You know what you need? You need your Bible. You know what your coworkers need? You know what your kids need, mom and dad? You know what your marriage needs? You know what you need, single man, single woman? You know what you need? You need your Bible. These sayings are faithful, and these sayings are true. All right, we'll stop there for tonight.